Now we turn to LA restaurant critic Bill Addison, who recently returned from his own overseas trip. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Evan.
You had this incredible vacation in Lebanon.
I did have an incredible vacation, and I know that it's, you know, a cliche for food writers to gallop off to far-flung locations, but this was just a really special trip for me because I went with my best friend, who is Lebanese, and her family, who I've known for about a decade. I've been curious about the foods of Lebanon all my career as a critic, but especially after knowing Kaleen and her family so well, and how different the home cooking is from the restaurant cooking, which is something I think that you probably think about a lot.
What were some of the highlights that you could describe for us?
A great entree into Lebanese food culture is breakfast. You don't hear about that as much in the Lebanese American restaurant culture. It's incredible there. And the place to go is Al Susi. It's an institution. It is this one wizened fellow cooking, often with pots and pans in both hands at once. Besha Rodel, who was the critic at the LA Weekly for so many years and one of my dearest friends, did a big, massive project for Food and Wine where she named 30 of the best restaurants in the world. And I was so excited because, like, the week after I came back, I saw that she had been to Al Susi. The thing to order there is fatte, which is like spa. Evan is making happy faces, everyone. She knows. Make me fatte, Evan, or let's go find it good here. I don't know. I need it.
So I know the Syrian version. Tell me what the Lebanese version is.
It was spiced chickpeas with yogurt, crisped pita, and pine nuts. Probably pretty similar, right? The borders are so close to one another.
It's so comforting.
It sounds simple, but the textures are so right. The creamy yogurt, the kind of mid-bite of the chickpeas, and the crunch of the pita and pine nuts. Ah, it was so good. The fool is also a big thing there, which is another, the fool is fava beans, but like the dry that have been simmered with just a little bit of cumin thrown in. And then the hummus with the lamb in the center of it, and pickles and olives. And right now,
this is all breakfast.
This is breakfast. Beirutis are used to this, I guess. And they also stay out really late. Those folks know how to party. Like, this is how it rolls. There was one place, the owner is Lebanese, but the bar is called Anise. He makes really great Southern American cocktails. They're not exclusively like that. If you want arak, you can get that there. Arak is like the
ouzo.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, the licorice-flavored spirit that you add water to and it turns cloudy. But he makes an incredible vin carré, and he's a really charming guy, so you should go see him.
Did you have any particularly amazing home dinners?
I honestly didn't, because Kaleen and her family knew that I was interested in eating out. But I had something that bridged the gap between home cooking and restaurant cooking. Some new friends, Nadine Touma and Savin Aris, who run a publishing house called Dar on Boz, they took me to a tiny town in the mountains of Lebanon. It really goes down as one of the great days of my life. The town is called Masr El Shouf. DM me on Instagram if you want details. I'll give them to you. The name translated from Arabic as Cedar's Rest House. And the woman, we just called her Sheikha Wafa. She just cooked for us. She made this incredible dish called kawarma, and it was preserved lamb. And she opened the jar and scoops out some lamb meat with like the oil it was preserved in, heats that up, and then breaks in eggs slowly, one at a time, and cooks them just until they're poached and scoops them out. And then goes and makes manoukish, the flatbread that is just a signature of Lebanese cooking. And she spread one with za'atar. Oh, it was so good. And another with a type of cheese that had been blended with tomatoes. And then she just brought it all out, and we had the feast of pickles and fresh vegetables that the Lebanese are always chewing on, and herbs and green onions, and oh my God.
Okay, so now everybody's listening to this and is thinking, well, that's fine.
Yes.
So where can we go to get our fix after listening to this?
Okay, I am doing a deep dive search, I would say the best that I have found so far is Hyatt's Kitchen in North Hollywood. I've been a lot of places and it's fine, it's good, but Hyatt's has that soul that I'm looking for. The couple who owned this split and the wife opened a new place called Mona's Kitchen in Tarzana. So I'm heading there soon. There's also a place in South Bay that a new friend recommended to me called Playa's Pita. And the food is good, but what you do is you ask for the daily special. And that is like the mother-in-law, the Lebanese mother-in-law, cooking like the home cooking and just basically serving you that one dish.
Wow.
And it's like things like when I went, I'm sorry, I'm just going to butcher the name so much that I'm not going to pronounce it, but it's mallow greens that show up a lot in the Eastern Mediterranean, simmered with chicken. It was just really comforting and right.
Wow. Thank you so much. What a treat.
It was a treat to share it. Thank you, Evan.
I've been talking with LA Times restaurant critic Bill Addison about his recent travels to Lebanon. For a link to his article, visit kcrw.com/goodfood. Coming up, we turn from the global to the local. I'm talking with Houston chef Chris Shepherd about learning to cook in a way that's rooted in where we live. It's a great conversation. Don't go anywhere.